We've been talking about prayer. I'm already out of time. But who cares? The sun's still up. So if their bus is coming for you, Mike will take you home a little later here. Hey, it wouldn't be the first time. But I want for us to take something of God's Word home with us tonight. I tell you, I love sitting on this platform and playing and worshiping and singing. I'm glad to be able to be a part of it for a couple of reasons. One is I get a view that you don't, and to get to watch some of you enter in the way you enter in is such a blessing. I just am excited for what God's going to do. I'm just done with that. But, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want you to know that if I notice it, God notices it. And it is an amazing thing to watch people just worship the Lord. And it blesses my heart for sure. So back in Matthew's Gospel, I just want to fly through this to get you back on track from where we left off. Jesus gives us instructions in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, to ask and to seek and to knock. And so as His followers, what it's saying is that we can keep on asking, that we can keep on seeking, and that we can keep on knocking, that because it's an indication of the importance of persistence. Amen? The importance of persistence. The importance of consistent prayer in our life. Listen, if you're only praying when you're in a crisis, you're praying wrong. And when your prayer in your crisis doesn't get answered, it might be because you've not laid any groundwork leading up to that. It might be because there's not a relationship that has been established through prayer on behalf of you and your relationship with the Lord. And so when crisis strikes, all of a sudden we begin to cry out to God. And we wonder why God maybe doesn't seem like God hears us, is because we haven't been persistent and consistent in our prayer life, in establishing our relationship. God is going to answer believers who are persistently asking and seeking and knocking on heaven's door. Because in our persistence, God understands and God realizes, not because maybe of our persistence, but He sees a heart issue that says, hey, they're not going to give up. They've got a need. We've got a relationship. How many of you know God is going to give you that He wants to grant us the desires of our heart? He wants to do that. Listen, if you're praying for something, if you're praying for a loved one that's maybe sick, maybe has a terminal kind of an illness, and you're praying that God's going to heal that person, then you pray until heaven it takes her away, or takes him away, takes what you pray until no matter what. We must not take the words of Jesus as some kind of a blank check. Because again, prayer is not some... excuse me. The devil don't want me to say this, but I don't care. Prayer is not a magical way to obtain whatever it is that we want. It's just not a blank check. It's not some incantation that if you pray just so and just right, God's going to bless you and answer you. No, you just need to pray with a heart untoward God. And Jesus already had explained some conditions on this promise. And number one, His followers were to show mercy and forgiveness to one another. to one another, to forgive each other. We're to avoid praying in order to get attention. And then we must be willing to persevere in prayer. My favorite definition of perseverance is wrestling with a gorilla. When you're wrestling with a gorilla, you don't quit when you get tired. You quit when the gorilla gets tired. And you better persevere in that wrestling match until that time. Amen? We got to pray in harmony with the will of God. Hello? We've got to pray in harmony with the will of God. The Apostle Paul goes on and admonishes us in Colossians 4 and 2 along the same lines. He says, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So we're to pray with thanksgiving. We're to pray with thanking God at the same time in our heart. Giving thanks unto God for what He hadn't even answered your prayer. But we thank Him for it anyway. Why? Because by faith we see it coming. By faith, we have to activate our prayer. Paul says in another translation, we should devote ourselves to prayer and be alert in our prayer. Be alert. Amen. Most of us fall asleep during our prayer time. Hello. We just go, ooh. Be alert. Our persistence is an expression of our faith that God does, in fact, answer prayers. And I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit knocking on the door. I'm not going to quit seeking the answer until I get the answer. That's an act of faith on your part. Faith shouldn't die, church. Listen to me. Faith should not die if the answer comes slow, because the delay just might be God's way of working His will out in your life. I'm telling you what, man. Sometimes we just get in such a hurry and we just want things to happen right now, and God's got the brakes on the thing, and we're doing everything we can to get the thing to launch, and it won't launch because there's something down the road that God maybe doesn't want us to be a part of. Amen? His delays might be your deliverance. Think of it that way. The delays of God might in fact be our very deliverance. And so when we feel tired of praying, we need to know that God's present, that God's always listening, that God is always answering. Maybe not the way you and I had hoped, but He in ways that He knows are best. How many of you know sometimes no is the best? Sometimes no is the best answer. Back, if you go into the Old Testament, you'll find that in the Old Testament saints also recognized this principle. For example, when the children of Israel were at war with the Amalekites, Moses went to the top of the tallest mountain that was around there, and he began to lift his hands toward God. And as long as his hands were raised, then the army of Israel advanced in the battle. But as soon as Moses let his hands down, the enemy took the advantage and advanced against the children of Israel. In fact, in Exodus 17 and verse 9, this is what it says through 13. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with them out with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. Your hands ever get heavy, folks? You need somebody to hold your hands up. But Moses' hands became heavy, So that they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Amen? Isn't that an awesome story? See, it's important, church, for us to see that the focus is on the thing that brought about the victory. The thing that brought about the victory was what? Prevailing prayer. It was prevailing prayer. It was the intercession. It was their leaders crying out to God. It was His support team holding up His hands when His hands got tired. I'm grateful to God tonight that I've got people alongside me that will hold my hands up in prayer and hold my feet to the fire. Amen? I'm thankful to God for it. Victory against the enemies of life come from the Lord and from the Lord alone. We might think that we won the battle, but you only win the battle because God supports you in the battle. And when the enemies of life attack us, it is our duty to go before the Lord and to cry out to Him for the victory. So our journey, on the journey of faith, we not only experience trials involving the necessities of life like bread and water, but we also face battles when our enemies attack us. And we're pilgrims who are also soldiers. On Friday night, in our men's meeting on Friday night, there's a gentleman by the name of Bill Federer, and he's a historian. He's a historian of our nation, of the way our nation came to be, our national history and all those kinds of things, and the way the Bible has been tied through all of that, and the way God has shown Himself faithful in this country. And just to hear the miracles that God did for the pilgrims and the first... Squanto was an Indian, that the very first pilgrims that ever came to America, that when they got blown off course and they were supposed to land here, but they landed over here, and so it was a provision of God, and when they land on the shore and they come ashore and they're like, where in the heck are we? And so this Indian, Squanto, comes walking out of the brush and talks to them in perfect English, which is a miracle of God. Amen. And so, you know, they make friends, and he helps them and teaches them and all kinds. It's a great deal. Bill Federer is a great guy. But listen, we not only are pilgrims, but we are also soldiers. And we have to understand that. You have to understand that. Ladies, Bill Federer talks about ladies that were in the battle, that supported the troops. They didn't get paid for it. They just were there. They brought water on hot days. One guy passed out and collapsed due to heat exhaustion and those kinds of things. And it was his wife that was bringing the water. And when he went down, she just took his place, loading a cannon, boom, shooting cannons, the balls. She just took over. They never missed a beat. A cannonball came in and went right between her legs, ripped her petticoat off, or whatever it's called, and the whole deal. I mean, it's crazy. Ladies, you're in the battle as much as the men are in the battle, and we have to understand that. Amen. Our duty is to go before the Lord, and we must fight. We're pilgrims who are soldiers. It means we must occasionally endure hardships as we follow after the Lord. And the devil, without question, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the devil is our worst enemy. He wants to kill us, rob us, steal from us, destroy us. And let me tell you something. When you're dealing with the devil, there are no rules of engagement. Understand that, church. There are no rules of engagement. He don't care if you're crippled. He don't care if you're a kid. He don't care if you're old people. He don't care. He don't care. If you're struggling, He don't care. If you're having a great day, He don't care. If everybody's coming against you, He just joins the bandwagon and puts it on more. He wants to do whatever He can to rob, kill, steal, and destroy us. And He uses the world and the flesh of other people to oppose us. And church, sometimes He uses our flesh to oppose us. Sometimes He uses our flesh to oppose us. I'm just going to stop right there because I'm way over time. But I wanted to give you something. I want you to go and get in Exodus chapter 17. I want you to read about this battle. This is I think this is the very first time that we ever hear from Joshua is right here in this, when he's called out to go and rise up some men, gather some men to go and fight and do battle. And read through this and learn on your own what God is wanting to do. And pray, church, pray. I see God doing stuff in this congregation. I see God raising up people in this congregation. I see the enemy fighting against this congregation. But I got news for him. Greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. When the enemy, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. You and I are part of that standard, and we must stand strong. If we're not right with God, get right with God. If we're dancing on the fringe, get off the fringe. Make a decision. Either get in or get out. I mean, I'm just being honest. Because God's, He said He'd rather you were either hot or cold. If you're just lukewarm, He's going to spew us out of His... Listen, ain't nobody wanting that. Nobody wants that. I want to be red hot for Jesus. I either want to be red hot or I want to be as refreshing as an ice cold glass of lemonade or water or tea on a hot day. That's the difference. But I wish you were hot or cold, not lukewarm. Anybody ever drink lukewarm milk? It's nasty. It's nasty. That is nasty. I remember milking cows and, they would drink that milk right out of the... I mean, body temper. That is just wrong, Judy. That's wrong. Listen, don't be caught lukewarm. If you don't know how to get warm, get closer to the fire. Hello? If your fire's going out, get closer to the fire. Get close to somebody that's on fire. It might be just an old black lump of coal laying there, but if it gets over close to the heat, it's going to begin to change, turn red, begin to glow, produce heat. Amen? I don't know if you have anything you want to play or whatever, but we're going to pray and close this out tonight. I believe God wants to do some things that are going to shock us, church. I believe God wants to do some things that's going to make even us go, man, how awesome is God? And I already know God's super awesome. But I believe God's going to begin to do some things. I believe God is putting in order some things. I believe God is wanting to deal with the hearts of some people. Listen, because we got to be right with God. Amen. We got to be right with God to be used of God. Amen. We got to walk in the authority that only comes from God. Don't walk in my authority. Walk in His authority. Amen. Be filled with His Spirit. Be endued with His power. God can take the biggest mess on earth and use it for His glory. You're looking at it. You're looking at one example. When you look at Tammy and I, you're looking at an example of a mess when we were, well, we're still a mess, but we're a better mess than we was before. What? That's right. That's right. God has given me authority. All right. But listen, I kind of say that in jest a little bit, but the reality is the enemy has been trying for 30-something years to take us out. But we are determined. We're determined. We ain't giving up. Don't give up. When you're climbing the mountain and you're getting discouraged, you're doing all you can to get up to the top of the mountain, and you're on shale, you're on unstable ground. There's rocks. I mean, it's like, I don't know if you've ever climbed up a shale bluff or what, but I mean, you take one step forward and you slide 10 feet back down, and you got to start all over. And you just get frustrated, and you're like, I'm done with this. Don't get done. You keep fighting. Your miracle is just over the top. Jesus is coming up the backside of the mountain. Amen. I want to open these altars to you tonight, and if you want to pray, you can come and pray. I'm going to close the service in prayer. I thank God for the testimonies. I thank God for touching, not only touching your heart physically, but touching your guys' heart spiritually. Amen. Making a decision. I'm just making a decision that, you know what, devil? I'm not surrendering. I'm standing. Different ones of us have made that same commitment. God, I know the devil hates me. I know he wants to kill me, but I'm not giving in. I'm not doing it. And we got to stand strong. We got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to believe that my miracle is on the way. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over your congregation tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, the peace of God that passes all understanding would flood their hearts and minds. I pray, God, that your still small voice would be in their ears. I pray, God, that their minds would be filled with your thoughts. And I pray, oh God, that their eyes would be filled with your vision. Lord, I pray, God, that their hands would be filled with your anointing touch, oh God. Lord, that out of their bellies would begin to flow rivers of living water that would just begin to just pour forth out of them, Lord. And Father God, I pray that their feet would walk very closely in the footsteps of Jesus. God, that we too, like Ray said, we'd be like Peter and we'd get out of the boat at your beck and call. That we'd walk on the water. That we would do the things that you have called us to do. You're calling us out to come on and walk on the water with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. You'll not fail. You will not fail. Sounds like a good song. Come on and walk on the water